Welcome to Gravel Knits, Off the Trail, where we throw out the map and leave the trail behind. Today is Monday, March 7th, 2022.
I'm Kelsey, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
And I'm Caitlin, and my pronouns are also she, her, and hers. Today, we're going to mix it up. You know, we realize we've been podcasting for over a year, and we have not had wine on the show yet.
No, we haven't.
So, what good time than now to do that?
It's very true. So, Caitlin, can you tell us what we're going to be drinking tonight?
We are drinking from Scout and Cellar, which I bought actually at a wine party. And this winery, I was going to say this brewery, this winery creates cleaner wines. So they should be a little less calories and they have a little less additives. And they source their grapes from all over the place. I think California, Texas, France. So I thought it was kind of neat and I thought it was worth trying it out at least. So this one is called Dove Hunt Dog. It is a Pinot Noir from California and is dated 2020. And it's a screw top.
Yay, it's easy access.
Which I think anymore they've got them pretty well sealed that it's not.
They do.
Like it used to be an issue, but.
Right, it used to be, you know, a little weary thinking, oh, it's a cheaper bottle and stuff along that. And still don't want to necessarily age it very long, I guess.
That makes sense.
Makes it for easy access and on-the-go drinking. No, we don't encourage drinking on-the-go.
Well, on-the-go, like if you want to go for a walk around the bar when you're drinking, that's fine.
Sure. Or around your house, maybe out to your backyard.
Yeah, there we go. And we are drinking out of my favorite coffee cups. I mean, my favorite wine cups, which are coffee cups.
I like these.
A great hack. So...
Cheers.
Cheers. It smells good.
Should we do our actual cheers?
Sure, yes.
We would like to cheers to the sheep for their wool, the shepherds for their dedication.
And the sheepdogs.
And the beer that keeps the world happy. Yay. Or wine.
Yes, wine.
I really like it. It's not too dry.
Me too. I was going to say, it's juicy without being overly juicy, because I do not like juicy wine.
Like you said, it's a Pinot Noir, so you do expect it to be a little drier. Mm-hmm. But it's not too full-bodied. It's a little bit thinner on the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
A little jammy.
And the finish, it kind of takes its time, and then it's like this little crisp end.
Mm-hmm.
But it sits for a little bit, which I think is pretty neat. It kind of hangs out.
Especially if you swirl it around on your tongue.
Mm-hmm. Which is what I did. yeah, it's good. Yeah, you're definitely getting the jammy, too. I like it. It's a red wine. I mean, Pinot Noir is a red wine, but just... There's a lot of different, like, Pinot Grigio and Pinot this and Pinot that. So this is Pinot Noir. It's a red. It's juicy. I think that there's enough going on here that it would be nice with a steak. But you could go lighter if you wanted to.
I could definitely see that. Be good with some red meat or even chicken, really.
Mm-hmm. I think it could go either way.
I like it.
I think that's what I got on it. So, yeah. What did Kelsey say last time? Two thumbs up. Highly recommend.
Two thumbs up, yes.
Well, Kelsey, now that we have our drinks, how are you?
I'm good. I'm knitting. I'm with my friend Caitlin.
Yay!
I'm not broken. It was sunny. I rode my bike.
Nice.
Yeah. It was a really good week last week. That wasn't last week. I took off. But it was a good week last week. Got out and got some good rides in. But then, went and left the state to go work my side gig. And the weather decided to be all crazy.
Yeah, like double crazy.
Like Saturday we had high winds and crazy storms and...
Tornadoes.
Kind of devastated some areas and awesome lives, unfortunately, but the community is definitely doing all they can to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
It's an area I ride my bike on a lot, actually, so I might not be riding there for a little bit.
Yeah, like, we were driving, let's see, southeast of us on Sunday, and we were driving by the side of the road, and I'm like, what happened to all these trees? And I was like, oh, yeah, yesterday.
Well, and it just so worked out that, like, it hit south of my friend's place near Winterset. If you've seen the bridges of Madison County,
mm-hmm.
then that's the same area where okay. the tornadoes kind of hit.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. But the same path ended up going just east of my house.
I'm glad that it missed you.
Mm-hmm. It was about 160-mile-long path yeah. that it had.
It's kind of impressive.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, of course, we come home and it snows.
Yeah, so it went from like 60 to 70 most of the day on Saturday to 20 to 30.
On Sunday, and then by Monday, 3-4 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Oh, the joy. Mother Nature is unsure. Welcome to spring in Iowa.
It's true.
Yeah. Other than that, though, other than the crazy weather, things are really good.
Good.
Mm-hmm. I think that's about what I get.
Nice. Oh, I was going to say, I think you were talking about taking that Friday off, but you didn't. That was the last time we recorded. So if you wanted to talk about your Friday adventure, I don't think you did yet.
Oh,
but you don't have to. But.
You're right. Well, might as well mention it while we're here, because I'm sure by then I'll have more riding adventures to talk about. But I did take off a Friday afternoon. I had one wish that we would get one more good storm. And we got it.
Yeah, we did.
We had about 5 or 6 inches of snow. It was fantastic. And maybe it wasn't quite so much, but it was super powdery. We never get powdery snow like this in this amount in Iowa. It's much more similar to Colorado snow, where it's big, soft, fluffy. Well, that's set up perfectly for fat biking.
Yeah.
It took off a Friday afternoon, and then Cole and I went and rode the Sycamore Trails, which are just outside of Des Moines. They're in Johnston, and got in about 10 miles of really perfect trail conditions.
Yay!
There were a few spots that were a little icy, and one spot where you definitely had to dismount your bike and walk it up the very icy hill.
Oh, no!
And your key for using your bike is to use your brakes. If you're pushing along up the hill, it certainly helps.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But it was really nice, and the weather was gorgeous. It was probably 20 degrees, maybe, and then by the time we finished, it was closer to 5. But I had the right clothing on, which always makes a big difference.
It's a science.
It really is. Trying to figure, like, in the last couple weeks especially, I need to get outside more on my bike, so I'm training for a big race this fall. And getting those miles is going to be more important as the summer goes along. But trying to figure out what layers to wear. It's all about layering.
Yes.
Once you figure out, okay, I can wear this at this temperature, then you have a good idea of what you could wear at the next temperature. And depending on how cold it gets, it could be as big of a difference as 5 degrees. But also, the difference of it's 42 and sunny is different than it's 42 and rainy.
That's a good point.
So again, you have to think about what you're going to wear in that situation.
Yeah. And it's not like, I don't know, I feel like if I'm doing typical snow things and I overdress a little, it's not a big deal. But it is when you bike, because you sweat and then you'll get cold.
Exactly. Once you start sweating, you know that you've had too many layers on. It's best to start chilly and then warm up. You can always take layers off, but you want to be careful that you don't break sweat there.
Nice.
Good point.
I'm learning.
You are. You've been out and about on the bike for yourself.
I did. I love it. It's actually sitting next to us because I brought it in because I wanted it to be warm to try to clean it up. And I did hose it down to get like the first layer down, but now it's just hanging out.
And you could have hosed it down any time the weekend.
That's true. But it is... The first layer is done. Now I gotta like clean it up and then just get in the habit of doing it every day. Every day I ride. Anyways, what else you got, Kelsey?
I think that's it. Okay. I think that's me.
Okay. I was like, oh, shoot. I just started taking over. Well, I'll go with knitting things first. I bought my first interchangeable needle set.
Yay!
Because I'm doing a test knit and I could not get gauge. I found out that apparently my sock knitting is especially loose. Because I think on sweaters and hats, I usually go down a needle size, and that's pretty much good. But yeah, so the smallest I had was a one at home. And so I went to our local yarn store, Yarn Junction, and bought the Chaigu. It's a Chaigu.
Chaigu.
Chaigu. I bought the Chaigu mini set. And
I was so excited when you got these.
Oh, I love it. It comes with 5 needles and 3 cords and this cute little Notion box that has all the tools to tighten it. And this little heart, this like rubber gripper heart, and that is key. That makes it really easy to switch them. And it's so cool. Usually when I'm switching needle sizes, because like the pattern I have has color work, so like you have your second needle and you're knitting along with the other needle hanging, and this one I'm just like, oh no, I just switch it, and then once I get through I switch the other side, and now I have my other needles.
There you go.
And I like that they're super long. Like they're way longer than the length of my sock, and I like long needles when I knit, so still going to work on the small circulars, but I'm a fan of these.
I've definitely become much more a fan of,
longer
needles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I just have more options with my fingers on how I'm moving them. So that's pretty sweet. And I like that I've watched like tons of videos and reviews on them. But it always just seems so much more complicated to like switch, and they really just screw in. And I know there's different types, but
I think a few different brands have slightly different variations.
Yeah. But
for the most part, they're pretty similar.
Yeah, they're not complicated at all.
I don't have any interchangeable knitting needles, but I have interchangeable Tunisian crochet hooks that have a very similar mechanism.
Oh, that's cool.
They didn't come with the cool twisty thing, the cool grippy thing.
The little heart.
No, they also weren't Chaigu.
Or triple zeros.
No, that too.
So teeny.
They are not that teeny.
Yeah, so I like them a lot. I'm interested to see how I end up using them and organizing them. And one thing that I did learn, which was so great because Yarn Junction, she helped me in the store with, is that there's actually 3 different size cords. And I'm not talking length, I'm talking like the width of the cord. So like these are minis, and then they have the mediums, and then they have the largest for the bigger needles. So if you're going to get like from 00 to, is it 15?
I think so.
You're going to have different cords for those ranges. And I don't know the exact ranges, but I thought it was really awesome that she was, not that it changed my decision, but it was very informative, important to know. Because I was thinking about buying some longer cords, and she's like, oh, I don't know if we have any of that size because of this. I'm like, okay.
So did you have to buy the tips and the cords separately? Mm-hmm. Or
nope.
No?
They came this whole thing was project. was a pack.
Very cool.
So, yeah. But I'm so far really liking them.
Good. I'm kind of jealous, honestly. Because I was thinking the other day I needed to at least go down to 00s on a project, and I didn't have those.
Well, now you have a friend that you can borrow them from.
I'll probably end up getting my own now that I've seen them.
Yeah, and for the price, I was kind of surprised. Like, I easily spend more than that on 5 sets of needles, and those needles can't switch sizes or lengths.
Right.
So
there's definitely the pros and cons to each.
So, yeah, my husband's back, so that's awesome. So hopefully I can, like, learn what sleep is again and learn what, like, sitting down and not running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
Hey, you know what you're doing? One of those like, right now? You're sitting down.
I am. And I'm knitting, guys, which is really nice. It's making me really happy.
Should see the smile on her face.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm always excited to record. Very, very good part of my week. So I think that's what I've got.
Sweet.
So I think we can roll through some announcements.
All right.
Do you? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to take on Patreon because I want you to talk about the next thing.
Sounds good.
See, same page. Look at us go. Yeah, support us on Patreon. You can find us at www.patreon.com/gravelknits. And we have fun. Or another way to support our podcast is just to share it with a friend. Like our posts, all that good stuff. We're thrilled to have you either way, but that's something we have.
Absolutely. It helps us keep the beers cold and the lights on. So we thank everything that... We thank you for all your support, no matter what level. Okay. The next thing is our stash challenge.
Woohoo!
If you haven't heard yet, we are doing a year-long stash challenge running from January 10th to January 10th of 2023. And you can jump on at any point in time. We have more details and the entry form on our website, or you can get to it through the link tree on our Instagram. But the general gist of the idea is that if we're trying to work from our stash this year, it is not a, oh, you can only work from stash, you can't buy new yarn. No. Because we know we're going to buy yarn.
We love yarn.
Mm-hmm. But the idea is just to try to keep our numbers low and work from what we have. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be going pretty well, except I'm not finishing anything right now.
But I feel like I really am being more... responsible with my choices now that I see how much I'm actually, finishing, how much my output versus my input is.
I'm definitely being more conscious.
Yeah.
And making some more informed decisions about, okay, I've got this in my stash. And, honestly, I've never tracked my stash before, really.
Me neither.
And I might actually start keeping an idea of what I've got in there.
Yeah, I at least want to kind of keep tracking like this because it's so easy to just... fill in a line anytime you add or subtract. So I don't know if I'll ever know my total, but maybe.
So here's the cool thing is that if you, as our listeners, want to play along, you can go to our entry form, joining, like I said, at any point, and you can enter anything you've bought or anything you've made. And most of the time we just ask for a link that shows us what you did.
Absolutely. And if you have any questions or troubles, just message us. We're thrilled to help. You can do us on Instagram, email, whatever.
Yep. So we're going to have a quarterly drawing on Instagram, or quarterly from Instagram and the entry of the entry form. And to tag us, it would be GK Stash Challenge 2022.
And that's coming up. We're in the third month, so...
It is.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to figure out a drawing date.
You will.
We'll let you know. So that's cool. I think that wraps that up on that, unless you've got something else.
I got one more.
Okay.
Congratulations. Oh. The Commuter Knitter podcast has been podcasting for 10 years.
Yay!
So I thought that was really, really cool.
I really enjoy her. I started listening to her way back when... Then she did her little hiatus for a good reason, and now she's back.
Yeah.
I need to listen to her latest episode.
I think I'm actually I'm three quarters of the way through. I had some meetings today, so I had to kind of do the whole working and listening to people thing.
It's always so hard.
It's true.
I have one more thing to go back to the stash challenge.
Oh, perfect.
Yep. We have our little... We do have a scoreboard up on our website, I believe, or it will be at some point. Right now, Shannon is winning at negative 806 yards. Meters. Followed closely by Perla and Beth.
Great job, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Kelsey and I are both positive, and yes. I am still losing.
I'm going to win. I'm going to win.
We have a really fun grand prize, and Kelsey and I are fighting over it. But buying a sweater quantity of yarn when I already have a few sweater quantities is going to do that. Yeah. Well, congrats, everyone. We were really excited that you're joining in with us. So...
I think that takes us to our topic.
Do you want me to start or do you want
to
start?
I can start.
I feel like I've kind of started a lot of things.
I'll go ahead and start. So tonight our topic is about test knitting. We have both done a number of test knits throughout the years. Caitlin has done a number here more recently. And we know of lots of people who are curious about test knitting, wonder what test knitting is, or even are doing test knitting. But even it's always interesting to know someone else's experience.
Definitely. Agree. So I guess we should probably start off by defining test knitting.
Yes. So what is test knitting?
So test knitting is a community benefit that you can give by... Typically, there's some sort of exchange. Either it's a pattern. Sometimes you'll get access to a different pattern from the designer. But generally, it is you just volunteering your time and work to test out a pattern. So you're literally just getting a draft of a pattern and seeing how it goes, seeing if you run into anything. For various reasons, this is going to help the designer. I mean, they're going to knit maybe their size and they need to do other sizes, or they might just skip over something and not realize like, oh, actually that was knit 3 instead of knit 2 or something like that. So that's,
or it's, you know, you're picking up something as simple as a typo or an error. Mm-hmm. And I found, especially with charts, that makes a big difference. You know, the second set of eyes.
Oh, for sure.
You know, charts versus written.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see different levels of that draft pattern, if you will. You'll see someone simply wrote it up in Word and is passing it along, or, you know, they've got it and they've sent it off to their tech editor, but they're also wanting you to do it at the same time, or it's been through a tech editor who is a person who goes in and does the math, reads through, looks for those typos, does the grammar, does some of that. And sometimes it could be pretty much perfect, and they're just looking for samples to put out there.
Nice. I think one point that I wanted to talk about on this, and I've heard this on a few other podcasts, but I did still want to mention it here, is that, so I know when I first heard about test knitting, I'm like, wait, so I'm spending all this time and using my own yarn to knit this pattern for someone. Like, that doesn't seem like financially to make sense, but it's not about that. It's about contributing to the community and helping a designer that really, like a lot of indie designers, it's not like their first job. And
no.
They're just doing it because they really enjoy it. And so you're helping them in a way that they wouldn't be able to do it without us. And I think it's really great on the things that have been able to come out of that. So I just think that it's something that I have learned. And I think it's worth kind of stating that, like what it really is doing.
And here's one thing for me on that note.
Mm-hmm.
I have never, sure, there. Okay, so there are definitely test patterns where you either get paid in yarn or you get
some kind of incentive
or something like that. But most often your designer that you're working with is not going to have that in their budget.
So, I got a discount code for yarn on one.
Right. Sometimes they'll work with the dyer or something that'll work out a discount. But often it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, yes, they're going to be the person making the money off of. But also, I get the chance to work a new pattern that nobody else has had yet.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's kind of fun to get to be, kind of help with that process. Like, I get excited to get in there and, I don't know, you get to see a little bit of their thought process when
Especially when you have a conversation.
Yeah. And then I feel like I'm talking to a celebrity. I'm like, oh my God, the designer's talking to me. Which is probably good that most of it's like electronic, because my face is probably just totally red when they responded. I'm like, oh my gosh, they responded to my comment.
Like, oh my. It is kind of fun though. It's like, oh hey, that person that, you know, all these people know about is actually talking to me and taking my opinion on something, or at least taking into account my opinion on something. Or at least, hopefully, is taking into account my opinion on something.
So cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, I kind of set up a little outline here on how a test knit process works, and we can maybe start there, and we'll probably go off the rails, but that's where we're going to start.
Exactly. So, how do you start?
You gotta sign up. You gotta sign up for one to do a test knit.
Yes, yes. Signing up for a test knit is step one. And sometimes that might not, that might be, you know, signing up to hope you get to test knit. And that's often the case.
Yeah, I think that was for at least everyone I've done. It was like you throw your name in and say, okay, well, I'm going to back up. Sorry. So there's lots of options on where you can sign up or look for one.
Yes. Yes, there are.
I see a ton on Instagram.
There is actually a testnet hashtag.
Yes. I started following it. Because there's like a test knitters needed, and then there's just like a test knitters hashtag. So you can see like things that are test knitted, which is also cool. And so typically like the designer will just put a post on there, and the few that I have done, they've linked to a Google form, and then you fill out kind of what you want to do. But I think you can also like respond in the comments like, hey, I want to knit size 5. I have purple yarn, whatever.
So let's step back one step even further. So you're bringing up a couple of good points. Like, usually a designer will put out something, whether it be Instagram or
Yarn Pond,
Ravelry. They will put something out that says, hey, I've got this pattern. I'm looking for X, Y, and Z sizes to be filled, and I have X number of spots to go into that size.
Yes.
So then it's up to you as the knitter to look through that information and say, hey, I'm interested in testing this size.
Yeah, and then you just go from there. And so, like, Instagram, I think, is more of, like, a free form on how they set it up. Yarn Pond is a website that kind of has that set up in the website. And then you can just look at a bunch of ones that are open, see what's open, see what the deadline is. And it has its own, like, chat and everything like that.
So a lot of times there will be some kind of entry form, if you will. You'll fill out all your information on it. Say, hey, you know, I'm interested in this. I'm interested in size Y. And most often they're going to ask you what kind of yarn you're going to use.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you just say something from Stash, they're probably going to be okay with it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's also some Ravelry book groups if Ravelry is a safe place for you. And I actually, the one I'm doing now, it is through Yarn Pond, but I heard it on their podcast. So there's all sorts of random ways you might hear about testnet.
Very true. I've definitely picked up a few from podcasts.
Oh, yeah. So we have kind of that like first form. And then if you get selected, then you're off, right?
Correct. Typically, then your designer that you're working with is going to probably give you the pattern at that point that you've been selected, or they're going to give you a link to where to get the pattern from. And then if you are using Ravelry, often they're all, and if they are also using it, they'll give you a code that you can use to link it up on Ravelry for your project page.
So then once the pattern goes live, it'll magically switch to the pattern name, and it'll be on there as the project. So when people are looking at it, they see all these test-knitted projects.
Yes.
One thing to do when you are signing up, be aware of the deadline. So make sure it's a deadline that you are comfortable meeting. I think there are all sorts of times in... Sorry, I'm trying to talk and pass wine to Kelsey. It's not working. Just refreshing our glasses a little bit. But like when I signed up for was actually like the deadline got extended a little, but I knew it was a tight turnaround. So I really wanted to look at like my calendar and make sure I could commit that time, because it is, your information is really valuable to them, and they want you to finish it on time.
So that is one thing that they will include, is a deadline. They're looking for you to be able to finish a knit by a certain period. And that's going to vary based usually off of the designer and how long, like what their experience is, and then also what that product is that you're going to be knitting. The deadline for knitting a sock is going to be way different usually than the deadline for knitting a dress.
Yes.
And then you can even look in closer. Are they looking for one sock or are they looking for two socks?
Mm-hmm.
And with that information, you need to think about your capabilities. Can you actually, barring unforeseen circumstances, can you actually finish the knit in that time period?
Exactly.
One thing I a lot of the test knits I've done have had like benchmarks along the way that you check off as you're going, like have this much of the knit.
Yeah, like have your swatch done by this date.
Have the first, you know, have the yoke knit by this date, have the body done by that date, and the finished product by, you know, different day.
I think another thing to consider before you decide to apply, like, it's awesome to do test knits, but make sure it's something you want to knit. I think we've all been in that situation where we've decided to knit something and then realized it really wasn't what our heart was
absolutely.
In. So kind of thinking about that, like, just because you see the post up there, like, there's one I signed up for and I just kind of lucked out that I didn't get selected because I was like, you know what, I don't know if I would have really enjoyed that project.
Right, and I think I've had a few of those too, and it's like, oh, I kind of liked it, and it's like, yeah, I love the designer, but am I really going to wear this, or am I really going to do something with that? I don't know.
Just make sure it's something that you want to enjoy. Like, knitting does take a lot of our time, and you want to make sure that the time spent knitting is something you enjoy. You're going to really end up giving better feedback too if you're enjoying it.
Well, and it's our hobby. It's not our job.
Yeah.
So it should be, you know, hey, I really like doing this. I want to knit this. I want to test knit this. I don't want it to feel like an obligation.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, I will give this. I'm not going to hide anything. Unfortunately, sometimes that experience can make it feel like work.
Yeah, that's true. It is something to be aware of. And I know some people like, at least for a long time, like, the idea of a deadline was just not my jam. I think I even talked about it in the podcast. Like, I didn't really want to sign up for knit-alongs that involved FOs because I just was like, that seemed like too much pressure. So just something to kind of keep in mind. I think that's a really good point, Kelsey.
And you just, you know your battles. Know what you can take on.
Yeah, that's true. Like, there's a difference between, like, a stockinette mitt and a cable sweater.
Yes,
sir. let's see.
So on that note, we're talking about, you know, how we communicate with people, making sure it's a job or making sure it's not a job, but still providing given information.
Mm-hmm. And so something you should expect, I think Yarn Pond is one where you might have to do it less. But most of the time, I've had to provide like an email or an Instagram account so they know how to contact me.
Correct. And so then they use either that to initially get a hold of you. But then once you're into the test knit, once you've been accepted and you're starting your project, there's often going to be some forum of a kind where you can discuss with not only the designer, but also with other test knitters.
Yes.
And that could be Yarn Pond. They've got an online forum chat room for each test. Or it could be Discord or Ravelry or Instagram or just an email chain. But no matter what, there's usually some kind of platform for people to, hey, I'm having this problem with this. Anybody else?
And it can be so fun.
It can be.
I think there's some that I've done that are a little quieter, but some of them, you just feel like you're in this little adventure with everyone, and I really like that.
And I think it also depends on, like, how many test knitters there are.
That's true.
If you have a smaller number of test knitters and they're the kind that knit fast, you're probably not going to have as much conversation as some project that's going to take longer and with a larger number of people.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So I guess next we should probably take a little step back and talk about, you've got the test knit. You've picked out your yarn. So you're just going to cast on, right? Just go.
Mm.
That's going to work, right? That's going to give everyone the information they need?
Well, what? Let me ask you this. What's the very first thing you should do with any knit project?
Cake up your yarn.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. Say you've got your yarn caked. What's the next step that you're going to do?
Knit a swatch.
Yes. You're going to swatch.
We're going to swatch. It's just so important, especially when you're testing a pattern. Like, for yourself, it is different.
As long as you're not, if you're expecting the same size.
Yeah, then you better. But, like, I know if I knit, like, on a size, I think I typically knit, what's 2.5 millimeters? Is that a one?
That's a one.
So I typically knit my socks on that, on 56 stitches. But I am finding that my gauge is actually a little closer to, like, a 000 to me on some projects.
Correct. To get that tighter gauge expected, you might be a little bit tighter.
So if I'm knitting a pattern for myself, I can just choose that size and it's fine, at least for, like, a sock. But if I'm test knitting that, the designer can't do anything with what I got. They won't. That's not the desired gauge. That's not going to give them the right yardage numbers. So it's so important to swatch and get the gauge of the pattern.
As an aside to this one, as an adjacent to it, so you're going to start by getting gauge. Most of the time with a test knit, you want to follow the pattern exactly
verbatim
as called for,
even if you don't want to.
There may be issues or modifications you might suggest or want to make, and maybe you ask the designer. And some are going to be cool about it. But for the most part, you should stick to the pattern as written.
Definitely. Stitch by stitch. So we've talked about gauge a little bit on here. But I figured I'd kind of talk about what my current gauge processes and see if, or swatching processes and see if it helps anyone out. So what I typically do, since I generally have to go down a needle size, is I'll cast on something kind of small with either the suggested needles, or I'll even jump down. Usually I still start suggested and just see if it's close, because I know when I block it, it's going to grow a little bit too. So that's still important, but I'll at least try to get kind of close by just like, oh gosh, I thought I knocked over my wine, but I actually just knocked over my needles. And then once I'm getting close, that's when I do what I like to call the Kelsey swatch, which is I'm going to make it larger than I think I need it to be so that I don't have kind of any of the weirdness that can happen on the ends, especially if you're like knitting flat and not putting anything on the edges and stocking it. Mm-hmm. You want that little extra. And then I'll knit long enough. I really should knit the full, like longer than the rows it tells you to knit. So like 5 inches.
Right.
And then I'll do a row to garter and then try the next needle down and so on. So it's all one piece, but then that row to garter tells me when I've switched. And then I'm going to make sure to measure kind of farther away from that garter line just so that doesn't influence it. So that's really, I should probably let Kelsey talk for it. No. But I just, it really did such a great job on helping me in my sweater. And then I really only knitted one swatch. Or one piece.
You are because learning.
I was just going through. So it was a little more efficient than like knitting a swatch, blocking it, waiting a day, measuring it, being like, oh shoot, then doing the process again until you get there. So this is a way to kind of make it faster and still pretty, very informative.
Yes.
I feel like I'm missing something on that though.
No, I don't think you are. Okay. I think you're good.
But that's just, it's so important. You know, if you're knitting on your own and you kind of know what's going on, I know a lot of the time I'll start a hat and be like, my swatch should be the same size as the brim. So I'm just going to knit it and see how it goes. And if not, I'll rip it out. That's just not going to work for a test knit.
Right.
We need a higher level of accuracy. Another thing I've heard, I think it was Andrea Marais, she says for whatever needle size it is at the beginning of her sections in her swatch, she'll put yarn over. So like if it's, which I guess this doesn't work for 000s, but if like you try a size 4, you could put 4 yarn overs in the bottom.
You know, you could
so
do.
So you can count it.
So like I do mine with like a pearl knit, pearl knit, pearl knit.
Okay.
So that would be like my 3s.
Gotcha.
And then maybe if I did that, I could do yarn over, knit 2 together as my negatives.
Ooh.
There you go. That's a thought.
Miss Kelsey or Mrs. Kelsey is onto something.
As long as you knew what you're doing. Take a note.
I like that idea. That's fun. I mean, usually I just write it down. Like, this, my first section was this and this, this. And I can just write it in Ravelry when I do my project.
If you've got it, you know, 0, you have a yarn over. 00, 2 yarn overs.
I like it. That's so clever. Yay. I love it when we say clever things. Okay, so we just finished talking about gauge. So the next thing I have is weigh your yarn before and after you start the project. You may be surprised about this, may not. I was surprised because I don't know, the first time I did this, but usually, especially with specialty yarns, you might be up a few grams or down a few grams on your hanks.
Right. And it's definitely not something I think anyone should be, you know, annoyed with or bothered by the fact that, you know, hey, it says it's going to be a 100 grams gain. Well, they're doing their best they can to get close to it.
Yeah.
And hey, maybe sometimes you'd luck out with 3 or 4 extra grams. But you could also go the other way and have like 98.
Mm-hmm.
And your project may actually really require that it was extra 2 grams.
That's true. I've been there before. Where I was like 2 stitches short. But that's just going to be really important information for your yardage later on.
And for our stash challenge.
Yeah. You want to count every yard you can get. Or meter.
True.
Yeah. Okay. So another point here, I think I've heard people kind of talk about this. Like designers, that people don't speak up. And they just think that they're reading the pattern wrong. Like, no, speak up. Because if it's either you found an issue or it's something that maybe they need to reword in a different way.
Yes.
And it's better to let them know that. Like, that's why they want you to test it.
I know.
So speak up even if you think the question's silly. Like, I asked Kelsey. She's like, no, you should totally ask. And I'm glad I put it out there.
It's never a bad thing to ask. Asking more questions is never going to hurt.
Yeah. It's only going to give them information and, like, see how your process is or how someone knitting their pattern, how their process is reading through it. So yes. That they can do a better way of phrasing or designing the pattern so it's more clear.
Well, and, like, the way I think is different than the way Caitlin thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that I phrase something might not work for Caitlin. But the designer is probably going to find the best way that it's going to work for more people. Or the best that they can.
Yes, speak up. If you have any question or thought, like you either found something that needs to be rethought or, I don't know, it's just an opportunity for them to learn more about designing.
And so I have an example. Okay. I did a test knit last summer where it was in both written and chart.
Okay.
And I'm usually a chart person. I can fly with a chart. But I said, hey, I can do either, whichever one you would like me to do. And the person, he asked if I would do the written. I was like, okay, I can do that. But there were just the way that some repeats were done. I was like, I can't follow this. And it's not because I can't read it as written.
It just
wasn't flowing well.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, we caught an error in the chart and how it translated to the written.
Okay.
But also looking at that and how it was written wasn't working with the page. So we reformatted some of it to make it all fit on one page.
Oh, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That I appreciate deeply.
Me too. Nothing bothers me. Well, I'm sure something bothers me more.
But is bothersome when it's like an awkward back and forth page situation.
Right. It's like, okay, part of the line is on one page, part of the line is on another page.
Yeah. And just, I don't know. I like my sections being in sections on the same page.
It can be bad enough that sometimes like the repeat twice is on the second page. And unless you got both of them, you're going to fucking get that second repeat.
Mm-hmm. Really good point. Okay, so I think my last thing is don't be an asshole.
That goes for both designers and testers.
That's true.
Everybody.
Yeah, just be nice. Now that I've done a few more, it hasn't happened every time, but there's been times where I've read the chats and I've been like, oof. Like, the designer has feelings. And, you know, so do we as testers, but just make sure that you're being kind and aware, and it's a really big deal for someone to put themselves out there.
Yes, it is.
That's scary. That's very scary to just ask a bunch of strangers or somewhat not strangers to test knit your pattern. You're really exposing a part of yourself. That means your art, right? So just kind of keep that in mind when you're responding or giving feedback to. Yeah.
As test knitters, we're there to be helpful.
Yeah.
And while we will definitely see things differently,
mm-hmm.
while we may have a suggestion of something that works for us, that's not necessarily going to be the thing or the outcome that designer is looking for. And so just because you very much want it to be this way doesn't mean that's how they want it to be that way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But just be respectful of everybody in that conversation, whether it's in, you know, say a chat room where you're talking about the pattern or in email or whatever, however you are communicating about it. Just know that somebody else has put good work into it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's a good point.
So with that, I guess, so part of one thing that often comes up with mini testnets is a survey or a finished, you know, write up a summary of what you've done.
And be nice on there. You can still put your feedback, but be nice.
Put reality. You can definitely put reality. Was this pattern clear?
Yes.
Maybe it wasn't.
And they need to know that too. But you can say that in a nice way.
Yes. You know, if it's a 1 to 5 star rating and it wasn't clear, sure, give it a 1 if it was really that bad. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, hey, it was a great pattern, well written. I followed everything. 5-star rating.
And that is where you can put all your yardage information, which a lot of test knitters are looking for that. So you want to make sure that you're tracking those things. You can put those in the survey as well.
So it'd be like your yardage, your gauge, you know, the final measurements. Mm-hmm. All useful information.
Well, I think we have actually covered quite a bit on test knits. I almost thought about, like, phrasing the beginning, being like, we're probably not going to cover everything. This probably won't be our only episode on test knits.
Well, then let's just put that in here.
Yeah.
No, this is actually the second time we've mentioned test knits on the show and talked a little bit about it.
That's true.
But it still is not completely inclusive of everything that's out there. But you're right. This is not an all-inclusive.
Mm-mm.
We have not covered everything. We only have covered from what our experiences are. If you have questions about it, feel free to reach out to us.
Absolutely.
I know I don't have any test knits on my near horizon, just because I might actually putting out a request for my own test knitters.
Yeah.
So look for that in a while.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Actually making progress on it.
That's awesome. I'm excited about it. Yeah, so I think that's what we have for now. But I think I wouldn't be surprised if even in the next 6 months we have another test knitting episode where we talk about different test knitting things. It's a big piece of the knitting world, and it's really valuable. And
I think it's one that Caitlin and I are finding that we really enjoy. We really
it's super fun.
Have fun with it. It gets us out of our comfort zones. I know I like to try to do ones that are probably going to push my limits a little bit. Or, you know, maybe not. But
yeah, there's definitely things I didn't expect to knit that I loved.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
with that,
I'm going to talk about IRL.
Oh, sure. Do you want to start?
I don't actually have anything.
Oh. Well,
but I didn't want to skip it if you had something. I feel like I talked a lot about what was on my mind in the first section.
You did.
I planned poorly. So.
That's okay. I don't really. I think we'll have to look for that in our next episode.
Yeah. I think IRL is also kind of what's going on, so sometimes we don't. All right.
Well, with that, we will talk to you in our next episode.
That was fantastic. You need to save that for my gag reel.
Okay, I'll put it in there. All right. We will talk to you in our next episode. Knit all
the things.
Yeah. You can find us on Facebook as Gravel Knits. Also the same as... let's just do it again. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Untappd as Gravel Knits. Our website is gravelknits.com, and you can email us at gravelknits@gmail.com. You can find me, Kelsey, on Instagram and Ravelry as Bikes Brewers Use, and Untappd as Kelsey J.
You can find me, Caitlin, on Ravelry and Instagram as Caitlin N. Lloyd.
Please message us to let us know what you'd like us to talk about, and we would love to hear what you think about our show. Please leave a review wherever you listen to our podcasts, and maybe even somewhere you don't.
Crabble Knits believes everyone deserves to be included and loved, regardless of who you love, beliefs, color, size, your gender, or whatever else makes you you. Please keep in mind that we are human, and while we are trying to educate ourselves, there's always more to learn, and your critiques are deeply appreciated. Nailed it.
Yeah.
I think that was a pretty good length, too.
I think for just a topic, I think it's good.